I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
It is a Thursday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, as there are plenty of news and notes around the NFL, as always this time of year, even amidst the COVID pandemic. There's also news at One Bills Drive as we await, chiefly today, the final decision by one Tre'Davious White as to whether or not he is opting in or opting out for the 2020 season. In a Zoom call interview with the media yesterday, he said he was still undecided, said he was going to talk about it with his wife, pray on it last night. So we hope to get word on that, knowing the 4 o'clock deadline is fast approaching for players to submit whether they are opting out, whether it's voluntarily or with a high risk medical condition. And already across the league, there was an additional player, third-round pick of the Chiefs, the offensive tackle Lucas Niang, opted out this morning on deadline day. So that makes now, I believe, 61 players that have opted out across the NFL. Steve, is that more than you anticipated?
It's about, I thought, you know, it's going to be about 5%, 3 to 5%. If there's 2,000 guys, you figure would do it, and this is a little less than that. So, you knew that some guys would, and plus, you got to know there's some reasons for some of these guys. They've got some real underlying. These guys have overcome a lot of medical issues just to get in the league, and those kind of things make it dangerous for them. So there's that, those kind of guys that is an absolute no-brainer to opt out. And then others have close family members that they're responsible for and they see and they live with every day that are also vulnerable. So you knew that there would be a certain percentage of guys that would opt out. And I think this is about what I expect, maybe even a little less.
Yeah. So we'll see what comes of that. Some news and notes as well. The Bills finalized their acquisition of free agent guard Brian Winters, released by the Jets last week, signed a one-year deal officially with the Bills today. And as it's been explained to us, this is just day three of Winters going through the onboarding process, which has a lot more steps now amidst COVID and all their restrictions and protocols. So he is still in the testing phase in terms of needing to test negative to join this roster. Even if he tested negative with the Jets 15 times, coming to a new club, he has to go through that whole testing procedure again, which I believe is two negatives within 72 hours and then another negative within a 5-day period. So from what we've been told, this is day three. So that means that he'll probably be able, if all goes well, to join the team by Saturday. Now, of course, Saturday is an off day for the team. So there's that. We'll have to see. I would guess, you know, Sunday is probably the first day he's really with his new teammates. But certainly, the team has to be pretty pumped to get a player the caliber of Brian Winters after losing John Feliciano indefinitely with a torn pectoral muscle that required surgery. There was also a player coming off the reserve COVID list for the Bills today. That was seventh round draft choice Dane Jackson. Now, coming off of that list, unfortunately for somebody else, room has to be made on the roster for Jackson. And the guy that was released was undrafted safety Garrett Taylor, who was signed by the Bills after the draft out of Penn State. So he was moved off the roster. So tough to see that, but it unfortunately it's that time of year for those tough roster decisions. So Dane Jackson up and running and will be joining his teammates, you know, in walkthroughs and team meetings and the like as we get closer and closer to real practice. So that's kind of the way things were shaping up at One Bills Drive in terms of player transactions today. But our chief order of business is Tre'Davious White and the decision that he'll be making, presumably prior to 4 p.m. And he may have informed the team already, and it just hasn't been made privy to us. But that is our Twitter poll as well today. If Tre'Davious White opts out for the 2020 season, will that change your expectations for this team? Yes, no, and then tell us why. You can hit us up on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, or you can call us 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And Steve, I know that Tre'Davious White responded to trolls on Twitter that were criticizing him for just being undecided. Hadn't made a decision yet, and the trolls on Twitter were already out and after him and had the nerve to actually call him selfish. So Tre'Davious did respond. So, Steve, why don't you read that response on Twitter by Tre'Davious to these trolls on Twitter that were criticizing him for just considering not playing in 2020?
Trey says, it's crazy to me that choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me and saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish for thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girl's grandfather passed from COVID. You understand now? Yeah. There's always going to be a percentage of we've learned this. We've learned it quickly. And it's an actual fact that any time you make a decision that is public, people are going to come out of the woodwork to, just be, you know,
unreasonable, nasty.
Unreasonable, crazy,
pig-headed,
just reactionary. It's they're trolls. And that's why they call them trolls. They do that as a matter of course, trying to get attention for themselves or whatever Twitter account or just vent or just be idiots. So Tre'Davious responding to those people as you knew it would happen, which is crazy. But it's part of the deal. It's hard to sit there and do that when it's a hard decision to make anyway. And there's no telling he's going to opt out anyway, not going to opt out anyway or not going to play. So we don't know yet. So it's you knew that there would be some reaction, although it's crazy to me that people actually say that. Of course, they're always behind a fake name and all that, but
that,
still.
That could be another conversation for another day because social media has its pluses, but it certainly has its drawbacks too. And this is an example of that, unfortunately, because suddenly people are far less afraid to puff out their chest when they can hide behind a Twitter handle and not have to say something to someone face to face. I'd like to see people do that to Tre'Davious's face. I really would, because quite frankly, it's absurd to even take that stance, knowing what COVID's done to this country already and the dangers it poses, and not to mention the higher risk that the Black community is in contracting this. The numbers prove that by almost a 2/3 to 1/3 margin, Black Americans are more susceptible to contracting the virus than non-Blacks across the board. It's a data-driven fact. And so I have to believe it's just one of the components that is weighing on Tre'Davious White. And as he alluded to in his Twitter response, his family's already lost a family member to COVID. So that's when it gets real.
That's right. His extended family, they've lost a member. I mean, what are we talking about? It's, you know, people react and they say things and they think these guys don't have feelings, don't have families and are emotionless or just whatever fair game for people is to, you know, to drive by and take a pot shot at them for some decision that they're struggling with. It's crazy, but it happens and it's unfortunate. But we'll have to wait and see what Trey's final decision is. And our Twitter poll will, at least in the early going, it's 70% of the people, 68% of the people say, yeah, it's going to affect their expectations for the season. They think Trey White is going to make that big a difference. And it's interesting to think about how big a difference a standout corner can make. No question, it makes people view our defense a little bit differently. And the defense for the last couple of years, and certainly this year, and the expectations is going to be the engine that drives this team.
Right. And I think a lot of people view Tre'Davious White, and deservedly so, as a cornerstone type player. So knowing that, and knowing that he was the only first team all pro on the roster last year, I think serves as indication to his importance and the respect that he garners around the league. So you roll all that together. People have seen enough of Tre'Davious White over his first three NFL seasons to know the difference that he can make. Tied for the league lead in interceptions last year. So I think fans see him as a cornerstone piece to the fortunes of this team. So I'm not surprised to see that. The big reason, the big thing we want in this poll is why you feel that way. So I may have laid out some of those reasons right there, but let's take an early look at the tweet sheet, which is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And from Danny, he says, Trey White sitting out is crushing to any hopes the Bills have this offseason, really. Him, Hyde, and Poyer are really the straws that stir the drink. What do you think about that, Steve? Do you think, I mean, I know this is a defense that the stars are, at least most of them are in the secondary. Now, that is subject to change with an improved defensive line and with the emergence of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. But this thing got off the ground because of the guys they have on the back end.
Oh, yeah. And it's been that way since day one with Sean McDermott. He's had a strong secondary. It's been a focus for him. They re-signed Poyer this year to an extension, And Micah Hyde's coming to the end of his deal. They've got him tied up, and they've looked for another. They've spent a lot of resources and a lot of energy bringing in competition opposite Trey White. Now, that may serve them well if Trey opts out, but if he does not, it doesn't lessen the fact that the team and the coaching staff and the personnel department has put a lot of effort into the secondary of this defense and have every single year they've been here that it's been a priority. And it's really carried that defense. Their defensive line, I think, benefited from it greatly in the first half of last season and then was able to take advantage of it later on as they got back into the top 10 in sack percentage. So this defense needs Trey White to be great. It can be good without him, but they need him to be a great and elite defense, I think.
This one from Tiffany. Trey is one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in the game. No way you can replace his on-field skill set with anyone else. The best you can hope for is that the depth behind Trey can be a steadying presence. It's impossible to replace your best player on the team. That's hard to argue. And I would say this, though. You know, you already have E.J. Gaines opting out. So Tre'Davious White, if he decides to opt out as well, you know, and we expect to know, obviously, at the latest by four. You have Josh Norman, who is trying to reclaim his status in this league as a quality cornerback. And then you have Levi Wallace, who I think is great at preventing the big play from happening. And then after that, you kind of get into some youth, you know. So the depth would be hurt, because it's already been impacted already by E.J. Gaines opting out voluntarily. So another guy taken out of that group, especially the caliber of Trey, would be pretty significant.
Well, think about this. It's the exact same thing in reverse of what happened to the wide receiving core this year for the Buffalo Bills. They had a pretty good group last year with John Brown and Cole Beasley and whoever else they could find to line up in the rotation of guys at the third wide receiver. And they got an infusion of a guy right at the top of the depth chart. And how much better do we feel about the wide receiving core now than we did even 12 months ago, even though it was a great improvement 12 months ago. Now it's just the opposite. You take the guy off the top of the depth chart to a group that was really good, and it takes that much, and it's just that big a hit in the opposite direction. So Trey White's going to make a difference if he's not there, and he will make a big difference if he is.
We should mention that later on today in the show, we will have Frank Schwab, NFL writer at Yahoo Sports. He's been with Yahoo since 2012, former beat reporter that covered the Denver Broncos. but he's got some NFL odds with the Patriots opting out, and he's kind of bullish on the Bills. He's not alone in that thinking, but one of the latest writers to hop on the bandwagon, shall we say. So we'll get his thoughts on the 2020 season and where he thinks the Bills are headed this year with the state of the division around them seemingly in a rebuild mode to a large degree.
We also have a bunch of sound bites. Devin Singletary was on with the Western New York media earlier, just before we came on the air. We've got some sound from him. We've got some. Josh Norman is going to be on his media call later in our show. We may be able to grab some and turn around some sound bites from that. So lots of stuff going on today as training camp kind of, I don't want to say flies along. Let's just say it keeps a slow and steady pace as we're moving towards the season.
It's crawling.
Yes.
At least for people like us, because we have seen nothing. You know what I mean?
Know.
So, I mean, we are usually, today is August 6th. We are usually a full week into training camp, like real training camp practice. We're a week in. We're already making predictions.
Oh, we're talking
battles.
Right. Surprise players, roster spots.
We got none
position
of that.
Battles. Literally, Brownie, training camp is a rumor.
I'm ready to break out in hives here. This is not good for me.
It is a rumor.
This flies in the face of my routine, my annual routine.
We have heard that it is going on. We heard that they're having meetings. We heard that the team's getting together. We have not seen it.
Yeah. So we are eagerly anticipating. You know, people say you get that itch. I'm scratching all over here, waiting to get to training camp when we get underway with some real live stuff, which hopefully in about 10 days' time will be the case. So
one other interesting thing that happened that I became aware of yesterday afternoon, maybe after we got off the show, is the Bills restructured Stephon Diggs' contract, which is interesting. A lot has been said, and I thought part of the reason that the Bills did not pay too much in that trade to the Minnesota Vikings for Steph Diggs was the contract he came with. He's making like $11 million a year, and $11 million is a lot of money, but not for a wide receiver of his caliber. Those guys are getting $15-16 million a year. The Bills got a bargain basement price for a really quality player, and he just signed it last year. They had him for that money for another 4 years. So what they did was they took that money, guaranteed a little bit more of it, put a little bit more on the front end, and redid his deal. Smart move by Brandon Bean, way ahead of the curve. They've got the room to do it. It makes him a happy camper for the next 24, 36 months, and that's, you know, that's exactly what you want to do in a situation like this. It's a smart move by the Bills to do that, because that's the one thing I thought they had going for them in that deal. Yeah, they gave up a 3 or 4 draft picks in that deal, and they only got one player back for it, and people were like, wow, that's a lot of money. But they got an elite player that was on the in the second year of a 4-year deal.
Yeah. And who's 25 years old and is just hitting his prime.
Right. I mean, it was a huge, huge financial boost for them in the salary cap, getting a player like that who is on a really good deal. So that's
right.
So for the Bills, they did it and they restructured.
Yeah. And to spell it out, he was originally supposed to get $11.5 million here in 2020. And they upped that by $3.3 million by moving money from the back of his contract up to this year. So now he's up to $14.8 million for this calendar season. And then in exchange for that, Diggs and his representation allowed the Bills to reduce his salary by $300,000 in terms of what his hit on the cap is next year. So it goes down to $11 million. But now more of that $11 million is guaranteed. So it's almost like, hey, you give us 300 grand off of your total money, we'll guarantee more of the $11 million you're getting. So now he's guaranteed $7.7 million of that $11 million next year. That is automatic and in his pocket. And then also on top of that, by doing that, they were able to reduce his total salary in 2022 and 2023 by a combined $2.88 million. So they save almost $3 million over years 3 and 4 of the contract that he's under with the Bills. And we should point out, this was agreed to in March, right after the trade happened. The Bills and Diggs representation got together and hammered this out immediately. And who knows, maybe it was hey, if you're going to trade for me, this needs to happen. And so they made that happen. The only thing was with COVID and all the restrictions, this could not get done until he officially reported to the team, you know, passed his physical, all of that stuff, for it to take place. So now it is done. But this was something that was agreed to way back in March. And Steve, here's the second layer to this, because you say, well, why are the Bills doing this? He hasn't done a dang thing for the Bills. Why are they giving him more money up front? This is number one, a good faith effort, I think, on the part of the Bills organization to say, hey, we gave up a lot to get you. This is how much we think of you. Here is, it's almost like, here's an advance on what we know you can do for us, because we have faith in you. So here's an advance. That's essentially what this is. We realize you feel you're underpaid based on where you feel you rank in this league at the receiver position. We believe you and believe in you. Here's an advance. Where it also helps the Bills, though, Steve, is 2021, 2022, and 2023 are gigantic years for the Bills locking up cornerstone pieces. Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, Tremaine Edmonds, Josh Allen, maybe Harrison Phillips, Ed Oliver, Cody Ford, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox. These are all players that I think we all envision as candidates that the Bills want around for a long time. Draft, develop, re-sign. All of these guys fit that category. That's about 10, 11 names. So you're trying to save and scrimp and stay cap strong as best you can at every turn. And this, I think, is a small example of that going forward.
Yeah, the $1 or $2 million you save on Steph Diggs in 2 or 3 years is going to add up for players down the line that are going to sign a bigger deal. And it's, you know, they've got the numbers, they've got the projections, and they also have, more interestingly, Brownie, a short-lived list of guys who they think they got to have. That list said may or may not be accurate. It probably is. The simple fact of the matter is, once you get up to that many names, somebody's probably not gonna
right.
Somebody's gonna get voted off the island. You know.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Unless they can make nickel and dime the entire roster.
Yeah, not by choice. It's by a simple state of economics. That's the main reason. So, Brandon Mean just said it the other day, in a radio interview. He said, "Look, in an ideal world, we keep everybody, but that's not realistic. It's just not by the way economics is drawn up in the NFL with the salary cap and with a free market system. It just doesn't work that way.
And this as well, Brownie, next season, there's going to be some really, really good football players that become free agents because of the cap taking a hit. Really good football players out there. And while you may say goodbye to one of these players that you just mentioned, who you really like, you might get a player that's way better in return because the economics of the NFL is going to take one in the mouth. You know, you're going to take a punch in the mouth next year, and guys are going to, you know, be dropped because of economics. Brian Winters is a great example. The Jets are there a year early. Other players like him are lots of players like him. I would anticipate, Brownie. And you can pick the team. You can go on any website now that'll give you the cap numbers for these teams. You can anticipate now which teams, and maybe even get an idea of which players might be on the block if they don't play really well this year, who the Bills might have a chance of coming in signing to another short-term deal.
You better believe that Buffalo's pro personnel department tries to project that stuff all the time. And I would venture to guess that several other NFL clubs do that too. Try to get in the prediction game to see who might get set free because of a cost prohibitive contract. But as Stephon Diggs' contract was being restructured, he was also made available to the media via a Zoom call. And these are the first comments that Diggs has made publicly since the trade. He has not talked to the media. He has not been quoted by anybody since the trade happened back in March. So this was a long time coming. So we wanted to provide some of that commentary from Stephon Diggs to you, the Bills fans, so you can hear from him for the first time. And he started off naturally with talk about the trade from Minnesota and his ultimate feelings about that and coming to Buffalo. So here's Stephon Diggs on the trade.
I'm excited. You know, there is no right or wrong or problems to be fixed here or something to replace from my old situation. I have a lot of respect for the Minnesota Vikings. At that time, you know, a trade happened, you know, kind of got to look at it for what it is. But I never really was vocal about what I did or didn't like. So I never really was too vocal about it. It's time for a new beginning was, you know, was enough said. But to your point, I'm super excited to this, for my new situation. Like, this is also a great organization, built on a lot of hardworking guys, a lot of guys that really grinded to get to where they're at. I trust the people that are in place. I'm just happy to be a part of it at this point. You know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. I'm just trying to be as helpful as I can, be a puzzle piece, you know, try to mesh as well as I can to help this team win.
So, Steve, I was on the call yesterday because I wrote a feature story on this, which is on BuffaloBills.com. If you want to read more about Stephon Diggs' mindset and where it is as he tries to, you know, blend in, for lack of a better term, because, Steve, here's the facts. The facts are that 9 of the 11 starters on offense are returning from last year's team. It would have been 10 if Feliciano was healthy. So Diggs comes in and he kind of sees himself as the new guy, even though he's got a gigantic role in this offense. So it was a very interesting perspective that he lent to the conversation that we had with him yesterday. And I want to get your comments chiefly on this next statement that he made. This was his whole approach, knowing that he's one of these new starters on offense on a unit that has 9 returning starters, at least projected anyway. His approach to fitting in with the Bills.
I work extremely hard. I'm serious about what I do, and I love football, you know, and I want to win. So that's been the same mantra since I stepped in the league, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But as far as, like, continuing that thing, continue that good thing going, as far as, like, continue to work hard, continue to have that mindset of, you know, things are always subject to change. And you know, change isn't always bad. You know, change is good, especially when it comes down to growth. And I'm looking forward to my new situation, as far as, like, learning about myself and the business side of it. You know, football is a contact sport. You know, football involves a lot of puzzle pieces, you know. In the building, you want to enforce such a family environment so teams can mesh well and have that good chemistry and have that, you know, that work together mindset.
So what do you think of that, Steve? Just him trying to blend in.
I think he's got the right attitude, man. Work hard and fit in. He's not trying to he said it in the other answer, he's not trying to reinvent the wheel here. He wants to come in and play his game and be a puzzle piece. And that's what a football player does. I think it's a great unselfish attitude. He seems like his head's exactly where the coaching staff would want it. He seems to know that he's the new guy. You know what I mean? He's the guy that has to fit in. He's not expecting anybody to bend to him. He's not expecting things to change for him since he's there. Everything's going to be different. He expects the ball so many times. It's a really healthy, well-adjusted mindset for a guy who's got a lot of expectations attached to him. And I think it seems really healthy to me, really healthy.
Yeah. I mean, he struck all the right notes in his first press conference with the media yesterday via Zoom and said all the right things. The only part that was interesting to me was, well, not the only part, but a part that made me chuckle a little bit was, he was posed a line of questioning about how he had posted some things on social media and how that was kind of the trigger for the Bills to kind of go after him, thinking he was unhappy in Minnesota. And he took issue with that. He said, I never said anything about not being happy in Minnesota. And if you try to look for specifics, he never provided that. I think there were some times on social media where he was very general in how he was feeling, whether it was about how he felt that day or how he felt about the team and the organization in Minnesota is unclear. So I think it'd be very difficult to prove that. But I think people jump to conclusions when they see those things from professional athletes and just kind of go that way. And maybe the Bills interpreted it that way and decided, well, let's pursue this and see if we can get something done. And to their credit, it worked. Whether that was their interpretation or not, I do not know. Brandon Bean did hint at that, according to the reporter that was asking that line of questioning. So we'll see. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah. The point is he's in Buffalo now and he's ready to get to work, because I think the most attractive thing to the Bills for with respect to Stephon Diggs was not just his wealth of talent and ability to make plays. I think his work ethic fits perfectly with the vast majority of the guys on this roster.
Yeah, and there's no question that when you go on social media and you post something and you don't say, hey, I'm just having a bad day, people think that's your life. You know, they think if Steph Diggs says, yeah, it's time for a new beginning,
maybe yeah, they'll slice it 150
on Monday
ways.
Morning, come in. Right. And slice it the worst possible way to make as much conflict as possible. So he could just say, you know, he could chime on social media and say, hey, I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready. And which could have meant I'm going to start fresh on Monday morning. Let's go Minnesota Vikings. But then all of a sudden it means he wants out of Minnesota. And I get it, man. You, listen, I've had a lot, I had a lot of bad days as a Buffalo Bill, believe it or not. And I never considered any place other than the Bills as my home. So it's, yeah, I get completely where he's coming from.
803-0550 if you want to join us. We are talking Tre'Davious White, knowing it is opt-out decision day or opt-in decision day. It's at his discretion, and I think the vast majority of Bills fans would understand no matter which way he goes amidst this COVID pandemic. But if Tre'Davious White opts out for the 2020 season, will that change your expectations for the team this year? Yes or no, and tell us why. You can hit us up on the tweet sheet, or you can give us a call, 803-0550. We have more comments from Stephon Diggs, which we'll get to later in the program, and we will also be hearing from one Devin Singletary. The Motor had some comments as he met with the media today. We'll be sure to pass those along to you coming up in our next segment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Steve and I back with you soon here on Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Motoring through a Thursday. Oh, you see what I did there? As I promised at the end of last segment, we'd be hearing from Devin Motor Singletary. And yeah, I know. I can hear my kids now saying dad jokes. I know they're terrible, but you know, they just happen. They happen. After you turn 40, they just start happening. I can't explain it. In any event, Devin Singletary met with the media today, actually just last hour. Where he was taking questions and answering them from the Western New York media. And obviously he's a guy who's expecting to have a big second season in a Bills uniform. So we're going to let you listen in to some of his comments as he was asked questions by the Buffalo media earlier today.
Hey, Devin, Sal Capaccio, WGR. Good to see you.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, especially here and not just running hills. You're making me tired watching those things on social media, man. Hey, I just want to ask you about playing football in 2020. We've seen some guys opt out, like 60 around the league. We heard Tre'Davious yesterday say he's still undecided. What are your thoughts ahead of several hours here before the deadline for players?
You know, opting out, you know, pretty much, you know, you got to do what's best, you know, for yourself, I guess, in this case, especially in the times that we're in, you know. And but as far as me, you know, I haven't really thought about it, and you know, I feel like I'm not even in a position to opt out. So that's pretty much my thoughts on that.
Thank you.
Hey, Devin, John Scott. Good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Just curious what your thoughts are with the addition of Zach Moss, another guy in the backfield. I know you lost Frank, and now they're inserting a younger guy, and kind of you're the veteran and lead of that room. Just your thoughts when the team drafted Zach Moss.
Yeah, man, just adding another piece to the puzzle, you know what we're trying to do this year. We know what our mission is. So I feel like that's a big piece to the puzzle. And, you know, I feel like it's going to work fine. Two South Florida guys, So we should see how it play out.
Just a follow-up. Frank started the season a year ago as the lead back, and you assumed that role as the season went along. Are you ready to assume that responsibility for the entire season? Is that something you're looking to embrace?
Of course, you know, that's what it comes to. I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever. You know, just taking it day by day right now. But, you know, if that's what it is, then I'm ready.
Thanks.
Motor Singletary, Mookie Hawkins, Waffle Sports 1080, man. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, now that the training wheels are off and with all the new additions that was brought in this offseason, what are some of the steps in making this offensive leap?
First, you know, just kind of getting to know each other, what we're doing now, taking it day by day, kind of building that chemistry. And I feel like there's no limits for us.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, we wish you nothing but the best and good luck this year.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Devin, Mike Catalano in Rochester. You mentioned Frank Gore. How much do you miss him, and how often do you still communicate with Frank?
We definitely still talk time to time. Of course, I'm going to miss Frank. You know, that's my OG. But, you know, like I said, we still talk time to time. So, yo, that's what it is.
Did he put you in a position, do you think, almost like a coach? I mean, obviously, he's still playing, but to take this step this year, to be the number one guy, to be more of the lead back than the guy helping out Frank as you started out last year?
Of course, I would say so. I learned a lot from him, you know, just from talking with him, just from being around him, just from watching him. So, yeah, I feel like I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Devin, good to see you. You said that you don't feel like you're in a position to opt out, so you'll play this season. Just want to know what your thoughts are on the protocols in place. Just going to the facility now, it must look quite different. So what do you think about getting tested multiple times, just how everything is laid out to make sure you guys are super safe in everything you do?
Yeah, it's definitely different times right now. But I feel like it's for the best, you know. Just everything that we got going on, I feel safe, you know, testing every day. That's just what comes with it right now. Like I said, with the times that we're in. So, you know, I don't have no problem with it. And like I said, they're doing a great job at keeping us safe right now.
Cool. Thanks, Devin.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Devin. Jay Skirsky with the Buffalo News. Good to see you. I think last year your high was 21 carries in a game. Just what is your confidence level, if need be, that you can handle the ball 25, 30 times in terms of carries in a game, if that's what they need this season?
You know, I'm definitely confident. That's what it comes to. Like I said, I just got to be ready. Feel like I'm ready. We just got to see how this year plays out, see what it comes to.
Is that something, you know, is that workload kind of what you expect? I mean, do you want to take on more carries this year, or are you kind of feeling that out as you go, I guess?
Right. It's still day to day right now. Really don't know what to expect, you know, so just really got to take it day by day. But like I said, be ready for whatever.
All right. So that is just a snippet of Devin Singletary's press conference via Zoom call with the media earlier today. Actually, it was just last hour. And he's clearly excited about year two and what this offense can do to take a sizable step. And I think they do need to take a sizable step to get up to the level of where their defense is playing at. I mean, we do have to remember, with all the strides that the offense made last year, they still only finished 23rd in total offense. And I believe they were tied for 18th in red zone touchdown efficiency. And they were 26th or 27th in scoring at 19.3 points per game, or 19.6 points per game. And if you weigh that scoring average, and we remember the mantra of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at their season wrap-up press conference in January, both of them said the offense needs to score more points, plain and simple. Points wins games, and they needed to score more. And so what I did was I did put a story together on BuffaloBills.com in the camp countdown, and I took a look at the other 11 playoff teams from 2019. And pulled Buffalo out of the equation. So Buffalo, as I said, averaged 19.6 points per game last year. The other 11 playoff teams combined averaged 26.6 points per game. It was exactly a one touchdown difference. So the Bills have some scoring to do on a more frequent basis. And I'm not telling secrets here. I think they know that as well as anybody. But listening to Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, other members of the offense, I think they believe with the addition of Stephon Diggs, another year of experience for guys like Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox, along with the other assets that they have to utilize on the offensive side of the ball, I think they firmly believe that they can successfully score more points on a more frequent basis to help them win football games. So the burden isn't on the defense to hold opponents to 17 or less if they want to win. And that's the step that this offense needs to take. So I was on that conference call. I did get to ask Devin a question myself later in the call. And my question chiefly dealt with the level of improvement he expects to make in year two. We often hear that players make their biggest leap, Steve, between year one and year two. And he's always hesitant to talk about himself, and that's just his modest nature. But you have to believe that after getting a taste of success as a rookie, that he really wants to kind of blow the doors off this year.
Yeah, and I also think they're going to give him a bigger opportunity to do it, just by the fact that Frank Gore's not there, and that now he is the, you know, he's the guy that's going to start the game, and they understand what his skill set is. They trust him in different situations more so now. He's got a really quality young guy behind him that can spell him. I just think there's a lot more they can do, and I think it's going to come down to opportunity to do it, more so than the fact that maybe at the end of last year they didn't trust him, because he was the lead dog last year for the last 8 games of the season anyway. And I think he put 16 games together like that for Devin Singletary, and I think he turns into exactly what he's going to be for the prime of his career. He's going to be a really quality running back who's going to win a lot of games for you. I just think he's that kind of back. He's versatile enough, athletic enough. He's elite in his elusiveness in tight spaces, and that's big. That's big, and it's going to get you some yards. And I think for this offense, that steadiness and consistency is what they really need.
Yeah, and I have to say, in the 15 or 20 minutes that we had to speak with him, he got most excited talking about Zach Moss. I think there's a built-in kinship there with both of those guys being from South Florida. And Devin's eyes got big when he was talking about Zach Moss. He said, this guy can do everything. He can catch the ball. He can run. He can make people miss. He can run people over. And I don't know if you've seen some of the photos from the practice field taken by our team photographer, Bill Wippert, but this kid's thickly built, let's just say. I mean, he's got legs like tree trunks, and he still has 4.55 speed. So he's going to be a dynamic addition. And I think Devin is excited because he knows that some of the pounding load is going to be taken off of him, because Zach Moss is going to be the guy running between the tackles and probably down on the goal line more often than not, just by virtue of his stature as a player.
Yeah, it's interesting too. You think about a guy like Zach Moss, who's, you know, you think he's going to be kind of a hammer type of running back. Devin Singletary is a guy that you think you're going to have to hammer, and then he's just not there. You got guys whiffing. That's an interesting combination. You get in, and these guys have to step into the hole and take on Zach Moss. They step up into the hole and Devin Singletary is not there. You know, so they got two guys. One's a hammer and the other guy is a guy that you kind of wind up to hit, and he's not there. It's an interesting contrast between those two guys. But I think the Bills are sitting really, really well at running back this year. I can't wait to see these guys grab it.
Yeah. Steve and I have to take a break here. When we come back, we'll take another look at the Twitter poll and see what you guys think on the tweet sheet. And we'll also be getting back into some commentary made by Stephon Diggs, who met the media for the first time yesterday as a Buffalo Bill. So we'll cover all that ground when we return. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health, here on Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Rouse, Caspian, back here on One Bills Live, a Thursday edition. And we will get back to some of the comments made by Stephon Diggs in his first media conference call on Zoom with the Buffalo and Western New York media yesterday. Had some interesting things to say. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour after the upcoming break. We'll also reset the Twitter poll and see what you guys have to say on the tweet sheet about Tre'Davious White weighing the decision on whether to play or not in 2020. The deadline's 4 p.m. and we hope to know sooner rather than later as to where he came down on that. But we did want to squeeze this in before the top of the hour. Steve, I'm not sure if you saw this in its totality, but Raiders head coach John Gruden had an interesting approach in trying to deliver the message of just how serious the COVID pandemic is and how quickly it can derail a team's football fortune. So, according to Mike Garafolo of NFL Network, the Raiders players logged into a Zoom team meeting a day or two ago. And, you know, they're fully expecting that head coach John Gruden is going to be on there talking to them. But to their surprise, it was assistant head coach and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia leading the call. And Bisaccia proceeded to communicate to the players that Gruden was hospitalized with COVID, which, you know, is going to take everyone aback naturally. It's the head coach of your football team. Well, as it turns out, that was not true. It was Gruden's idea, along with his staff, to see how the players would react to that kind of news in an effort to try to prepare them for what they say is going to be the most unpredictable of NFL seasons. How does that one grab you, Steve?
You know, John Gruden is notorious for being one of those guys who works 18-hour days, 19-hour days, sleeps for 3 hours a night, you know. And this is, to me, sleep deprivation. That's a bad idea. That's a guy that's got too much time. That's a guy with too much time on his hands.
I don't
think adults respond to tricks like that.
Yeah, like, you know, NFL clubs, I mean, you need guys trusting you to the umpteenth degree. They're laying their bodies on the line every single week. They're not going to lay it on the line unless they know they can trust you as a head coach and a coaching staff that you have their best interests in mind and keeping their bodies healthy, keeping them safe. And while I understand you're trying to impress upon the players the gravity of, you know, this COVID pandemic and the high rate of contraction of this virus by, you know, milling around in the same airspace as the wrong people.
Right.
But deception is not the way to go here. I mean, come on, Chucky. What are we doing here? You're going to, you know what? This'll hit them hard. This'll make them want to crush COVID out of our existence. We'll just say, I've got it. You know, Rich, jump on the call. Tell him I'm in the hospital. Let's see how that grabs him. That'll learn him. Like, come on, man. You got to be more progressive in impressing the importance of being vigilant in keeping COVID out of your building. Isn't this like the new Rockne way of doing it?
No, it's not. It's like trying to teach them a lesson with a practical joke.
Hit yourself in the head with a hammer is a bad idea. Watch. Like, what? Come on. Like, what?
Yeah.
We got to be better than this.
I think it's a bad idea. I get it. I mean, he can sell any way he wants to, and the guys will do their best to buy into it. But it brings to light that, listen, we're going to lose some important players during the year to COVID. You better be ready for it, including me. You might lose me as well. Let's be ready for it. Having your assistant head coach do that and pull off some charade like that's a little bit.
Can't you see some veteran players walking out of that meeting or calling each other after that meeting going, what the hell was that?
Why does he have to do that? Exactly. I'm not, what am I, a 6-year-old?
Yeah. So not a fan of that move. So hopefully John Gruden and his staff think of better ideas or hires a marketing team to help them out with better ways to deliver the importance of that message. All right, Steve and I have to take a break, but when we come back, we will cover some more ground with Stephon Diggs and the comments he made in his first press conference with the Western New York and Buffalo media about joining the Bills following the trade from Minnesota. It was the first time he's spoken since the trade back in March. And we'll also get into the tweet sheet and the big decision that Tre'Davious White has to make before 4 p.m. today. And if he does choose to opt out, how that impacts your feelings about the fortunes of the Bills in 2020. That and more coming your way here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.